as we continue in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. My name is Pastor Greg. I'm the lead pastor here. If you're a visitor here this morning, we're thankful that you braved the great blizzard of 2013 that's prevented everyone from not being here this morning. No, I rejoice that you are here this morning to proclaim the glories of Calvary. Isn't that why we're here? If you proclaim Jesus as your Savior, every day is an opportunity to proclaim that truth. So by God's grace, we learn that in John 13 as he speaks to his disciples. It's a continuing, last 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jason brought the word from John 13, 1 through probably 13 or 14 or probably even further, probably all the way to 20, on the washing of the feet of the disciples. And I continue on in this passage. So if you have your bulletins, I'd like you to grab those. And I'm going to ask God's blessing on this time, and then we're going to go ahead and get started in this glorious passage. Gracious Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be able to come up here and proclaim the glories of Calvary. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. What a great song to set up this passage. May the Holy Spirit speak for me today, Lord, that it might convict those of us who know you to change, not just to be convicted this morning, but that the conviction might lead to a change, a repentance. And to those, Lord, here this morning that don't understand the glories of Calvary, may they be so humbled that they'd be literally and figuratively on their knees before the cross. God, do your work through your word, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. So we come to John chapter 13, and if in your bulletins, you're going to see verses 31 through 38. Now, I'm going to bring in a little bit of 21 through 30, but you need to understand that basically what has taken place during this time is this is considered the last discourse, the final discourse, from John 13 all the way to John 17, verse 26, is Jesus' time with his disciples before he ultimately is glorified at the cross. This is an intimate time. The public ministry is over, and his private ministry with these band of 12, including the Judas, but 11 followers of Jesus Christ, it is a clarion call to the disciples of Jesus Christ. The glories of Calvary will be their very mission when Jesus leaves. And it is our mission as followers of Christ. And so, I'm going to start in verse 26, actually, and pick it up if you have your bulletins, if you have your Bibles, follow along with me. But it says here, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give the morsel of bread whom I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought maybe because Judas was had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what you need for the feast, or that should be given something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you this, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. It's a powerful passage of Scripture as Jesus begins to teach these disciples before he would ultimately be glorified on the cross. Now, this was a very confusing time, and even as us as followers of Christ, walking with God can be very confusing sometimes. And I begin to understand as I looked at this passage why Jesus said little children. Because that illustrates kind of that compassion he had, that though he's going to tell us things in this life as we walk with Christ and we walk by faith, there are things we're just not going to understand. These poor disciples had given up everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus said he was leaving. And they couldn't go with him. It had to be a tough, tough, tough room. Especially after they had just had their feet washed by the Savior. So I want to take a second, real quick. And I want you to right now think of somebody in your life that you are annoyed by. Now, don't do any pointing in this room, okay? But right now, think of somebody that you just can't stand. It's really hard for you to love them, okay? Now, before you get all spiritual on me and you start saying, well, I'm a Christian, I love everybody. Okay, don't ruin my illustration here, okay? Think about that lady in front of you at Walmart who is going super slow. Is it hard to love her? Okay, now at least you're thinking of somebody, okay? So now you got that in your mind, you got somebody that you're really annoyed with, that you can't stand. I want you to think about that for a second. Hold on to that thought, okay? I'm going to come back to it, okay? So let's look at this passage this morning. Let's look at this passage. Why did Jesus do what he did? Why did Jesus wash his disciples' feet? And in turn, why did Jesus do the things that he did? Specifically, why does Jesus go to the cross for us? It just makes no sense. So as we look at this passage, as we break down a little bit of 31 through 38, I'm going to draw out some application from that. But we need to understand why does Jesus do the things he does? Because when we get a picture of the things that Jesus does, it helps us as followers of Christ understand why we do the things that we do. So let's look at Jesus. As he says this in verses 31 through 33, he says, when he had gone out, now that's Judas, he had left the room. And there seems to be, to me, a sigh of relief. Like the one who does not follow Christ is now gone. And it's when Jesus can really get deep with the ones who will truly follow him and are ready to live for him. And so he says now, okay, Judas is gone. Satan is going to do what he's going to do through Judas. Now, disciples, now listen. The Son of Man will be glorified. Glorified. What does that mean? You know, oftentimes in Christianese, we use words like, you know, as a Christ follower, I really want to glorify God with my life. Have you ever used that? Okay? I really want my life to glorify God. What are you doing this morning? Glorifying God. I want to glorify God. That is my life. Okay, you can laugh. This is kind of funny. We use languages like this, but I'm asking you, do you really know what that means? Because I'm here to tell you, it is critical to your Christian walk that you know what that means. And so when Jesus is sitting in this room with his disciples, the ones who would say, Jesus, you are Lord, we will follow you. Jesus says, listen, now is the time that the Son of Man will be glorified. Five times Jesus uses the word glorified in this passage. What does it mean? How is God the Father and God the Son glorified? Well, you have to understand what it means to what glorify means. The word glorify, if you break it down, the Greek word literally means to exalt, to make excellent, to make renown. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, it makes God famous, okay? What is about ready to take place is everything to exalt who God is. God is most exalted when Jesus goes to the cross. He will make God famous. God the Son and God the Father will be famous and will be exalted. So, how does that change your life? See, Jesus' purpose is coming onto this earth for God to take on flesh, to die for the sins of mankind, is for His glory. That is the ultimate purpose by which God does anything, for His glory. If there was another way by which God could be glorified, He would have done it. But see what Jesus is saying to these disciples, and they didn't understand. He had to break it down from little children. You don't get it right now. But I'm going to go to the cross, and what you see as humiliation, what you see as a sad display, is actually the very thing that will give me the most glory. You see me washing your feet, and you think, how humiliating. And God says, no, you don't understand. I am glorified by serving everyone. God wants us to know that everything we do must glorify God, because everything Jesus did glorified God. He is all about His glory. He is all about Him being famous in our lives and in the world. The cross showed the excellence of God. I mean, wrap your brains around that. That's very hard for the disciples to understand. That going to a cross would actually glorify God? You know, you look at the stranger, the passage, the stranger on the road to Emmaus. This is Jesus when he comes before the a couple of disciples, Cleopas and another one. But in Luke 24, I want you to see this passage as you begin to see the confusion that was taking place with these disciples. I mean, look. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus. So Jesus asked them, why are you guys so downtrodden? Why are you guys so sad? What is going on? Jesus asked his disciples this as he appears to them as they're walking away from the resurrection. He says, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. It's like, do you just listen? They're just like, seriously? I mean, this Jesus who we left everything for, we followed him. And these Israelites, these Jewish leaders, they just hung him on a cross. I mean, this is just terrible. You know what was going on. They were confused. And no doubt the disciples are confused as well. They're wondering, what are you talking about, Jesus? That's why Peter says, where are you going? What are you talking about where you're going? So let's continue on. So Jesus just said, hey, the Son of Man will be glorified. The glory of God will be demonstrated on the cross in a little while, in about 24 hours. And he says, by the way, let's continue on. Jesus says, And understanding in that context of John 13, he goes on, he says, and a new commandment I will give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Is Jesus changing changing the story? I mean, is he going from, hey, Son of Man is glorified to, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a new command here. Go and love people. Love your other brothers and sisters in Christ. No, Jesus is continuing on, because when you look at the glory of God and you look at the cross, it is the very thing that Jesus did gives us this new way, this new commandment. And so it works synonymous together. So listen to this. What is Jesus trying to show us on the cross? He's showing us love. How to love. How you're supposed to love people. How you're supposed to love other followers of Jesus Christ. How you're supposed to love the outside world. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he died for his enemies. We were all enemies of God, and he died for us. He died for us. This new commandment, it in the Greek, it doesn't mean a different one or a brand new one. It literally means new, meaning a new way or a fresh way of looking at a new commandment. He's not saying, here, I got another burden for you. You know those 10 commandments you have? Well, let me add on another one that make you feel real bad. No, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the commandments. And so when Jesus gives this commandment, he's saying, don't worry, I will fulfill this. And you will be able to do this in me. He's showing us how to love little children. When I leave, the demonstration of a true follower of Christ is that you love each other. You're not going to bicker about what the sons of Zebedee bickered about, who's going to be elevated to this level and who's going to be elevated to this level. It's all about love. Loving each other. Serving each other. This is the mark of a disciple of Christ. Why do we know this? Because Jesus showed us. And he was showing his disciples. 1 John 2:7 through 11 says the same thing. John writes a letter, and he says this. He says, "Beloved, I'm writing for you to not a new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Whoever says that at the same time, it is the new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true to him and to you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness." Basically, what Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying through John in his letter is this. A demonstration of a true disciple of Christ will show love to each other. Because Jesus demonstrated that on the cross, that while we were enemies, he died for us. He laid down his life for his friends. What a great example Jesus is. He demonstrated it, Romans 5:8, while we were sinning, Christ died for us. So we see why Jesus does what he does, to glorify the Father, and in turn, he glorifies the Son. And by doing that, he shows us as an example the kind of love that we must demonstrate on this earth so that others might be drawn to make God famous. So we see why Jesus did this. So what should a Christ follower's response be? What should be a natural response to seeing Jesus sit before his disciples and tell him that I am going to be glorified on the cross, and you must demonstrate the same kind of love that I have for you to others? Well, point number one, as far as application goes, from verses 31 through 33 is this. Our lives as Christ followers must glorify God. Now, when you say, remember before when I said that a lot of Christianese is to say, oh yeah, what are you doing today? I'm glorifying God. Today I'm going to glorify God. It's a good day to glorify God. I want you to understand what this means. You ready? As a Christ follower, your role on this earth is to make God famous. Make God famous. Exalt God in your life. How do you do that? You love one another. You love your spouse. You love your kids. You love your employer. You love your employees. You love everyone. And by doing so, you make God famous. Because we were enemies of Jesus and He died for us. What an example. And so the natural response is, well, you know, that person, you know, that, remember the person I talked about? Okay, remember that one person that we all have in our head that we can't stand? Jesus is saying, make me famous by loving them. Make me famous. Wash their feet. Romans 12 says, pour hot coals on them. Vengeance is God's. Don't worry about it. Make me famous. That is a true mark of a believer in Christ, is you are here to exalt Christ, not yourselves. God wants us to make Him famous. And so when you walk around this morning, or when you wake up tomorrow morning, you say, God, I want to glorify You today. And what you're saying is, God, I want to make You famous today. And so when someone looks at you and they wonder why you're going through this specific trial in your life, someone dies in your life, someone's persecuting you, someone's making fun of you, I don't care what it is. Someone is giving you a hard time. You just can't stand them. You hate them. God says, I will love them through you. I can love them through you if you are a follower of Christ. See, those of you who don't know Christ, it is impossible for you to glorify God. Do you realize that? Because the very exaltation of God is demonstrated on the cross, and faith and belief of what Jesus did for us is the very means by which we can exalt God. And so those of you who don't know Christ, your main objective is to exalt yourself. And you leave disappointed. And as Isaiah says, your righteousness is like filthy rags. We are born to exalt God, and that is good. It is good. What should be the mark of a Christ follower? You're giving God glory. You're giving God glory in the midst of a humiliating, hard situation. You still want God to be famous. So how does a life make Jesus famous? Well, it brings me to the second point for every Christ follower. You ready? Found in verses 34 through 35. You have to love people. And specifically, Jesus is saying the brethren, the brothers of Christ, the sisters in Christ, those of us who call each other Christ followers, those of us within God's universal church. The way in which God is famous and demonstrated is that we're not fighting. We're not trying to exalt ourselves within the church. We're not trying to stir up divisions within the church. We're not trying to do things that exalt us as opposed to God. And then when people see God's church, they say, they love each other. Holy cow, they love each other. They're washing each other's feet. Are you kidding me? Have you seen that dude's toes? I wouldn't wash that guy's feet. The church is making God famous by loving one another. By loving one another, it doesn't mean your circumstances. Love is an action. It's a verb. It's doing. It's exactly what Jesus did. It's not a feeling. Feeling schmeelings. Love is an action, a verb, and Jesus did it on the cross. The glories of Calvary makes Jesus famous. And when you love one another, you are demonstrating the very work of God in your life. Because we're a bunch of sinners, aren't we? And it's kind of hard to love somebody. It's kind of hard. I wonder how hard it was for Jesus to go to the cross for his enemies. Oh yeah, Jesus went to the cross to glorify God. The Father and the Son were glorified, made famous by the cross. So, do you think you could be make God famous by loving those whom are unlovely? How does God I just wonder sometimes. You know, even in my own life, it's just so easy to exalt ourselves, to steal God's glory. You know what that means? When you say you steal God's glory, what you're saying is you're stealing the very famousness, the illustrious, the exaltation of God, and you're saying, I want a piece of that. Man, you know, in getting up here, I fall prey to that all the time. I want Jesus to be famous. When I get up here, I want you to say, man, that Jesus is big. Problems are small. Jesus is big. If we can't love one another, it's a bad, 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 bad day. So what's our source of strength? You know, is this one of those messages where it's like, okay, guys, let's at the count of three, let's get up and let's do this. Let's glorify God and love others. We can do this. Well, that kind of sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you. Can't you just hear his clarion call? It's kind of like that Animal House. No, never mind. Remember when John Belushi runs out? Let's go, everybody! When the Germans barreled Pearl Harbor. You know, they messed up. Bad Animal House illustration there. Forget that one. Edit that one out, would you please, Jake? Thank you. So you got Peter sitting there going, we can do this, everybody! Isn't that our natural reaction when we get excited about the truths of God's Word? That our lives are to glorify God and we're supposed to love one another? Let's do this! I feel excited! I can do this! And Jesus says, no, you can't. See, I'm going to unpack this in the next, after the first of the year. We get into the Christmas message next week and the next 2 weeks. I'm going to really unpack this in January, where we start to learn in chapters 14 and 15 and 16 the very work of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus isn't saying, hey, glorify God, love others, you can do this. What he's saying is without me, you can't do it. And Peter, don't worry, because in a little while, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And when he comes, he will give you power and he'll point you to the glories of Calvary. And then Peter, you're going to get up and you're going to preach a message that people are going to think you're drunk. And thousands of people are going to get saved. You got to think, if Jesus would have said that, he'd have been like, Jesus, you're funny. But what Jesus is telling us, Christ followers, is the ability for you to glorify God, make Him famous, The ability to love others who are unlovely is only done through the power of the Holy Spirit to those of us who call Christ Savior and Lord. See, he doesn't just give us commands and orders. This word command means charge. He's giving us a fresh charge. Love one another. But then what God says and what Jesus says in chapters 14, 15, and 16 is, guess what? I will give you the Holy Spirit to do the very thing to glorify me. Isn't that good news? This isn't a self-help manual, three-step program to be a better follower of Christ. What I'm saying, though, is if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and you can glorify God, and you can love one another. Amen? The source of strength is the work of the Holy Spirit. And as you walk by faith, you will glorify God. You will make Him famous. When someone treats you like garbage, you love them back. Because it makes God famous. When someone persecutes you and causes division within the church, you tell them, I love you. But you're wrong. We have to love one another. This is wrong. The mark of a follower of Christ is wanting to exalt Christ, not themselves. The unity of the body of Christ glorifies Christ. So, Christ follower. Our lives should be marked by making God famous. Glorify God with your life. Love people in Christ. And don't forget the source of strength is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without God. If you're here this morning and you don't have God, you have not submitted your life because of your sin, and ask God to forgive you of that very sin that has separated you from Him, then I'm begging you, receive Christ and the forgiveness that God offers. And then your life can glorify God. He came. God became a man to glorify Himself and that His creation might glorify Him. So I want you to think about a couple things. As I close, as we sit here for just a little bit, Matt will start singing in a little bit, but I want you to think of three things. So just think of these questions as you soak in this message just a little bit. The glory of God, it's a heavy, weighty thing. You know, the disciples are like, I don't understand. That's why in John 14, he says, let your heart not be troubled. He understood that they were freaking out. Some of you might be freaking out right now. Okay? Just relax. Holy Spirit will guide you if you're a follower in Christ. But think of this. Ask yourself this. How has the cross of Jesus Christ influenced your relationships with your enemies? You know those people that you don't like? How has the cross influenced that relationship? And secondly, who is Jesus asking you to love today? I can think of a few in my own life. And are you, by the work of the Holy Spirit, making Jesus famous? Husbands, fathers, wives, children. I don't care what you do. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, how are you making Jesus famous today? And I'm guessing some of us are trying to steal some of God's glory because we don't want Him to work in our lives. It's too hard. I mean, wash someone's feet? Give me a break, Jesus. Yeah. That's why the source of strength is the Holy Spirit. Are you, by the work of the Holy Spirit, making Jesus famous today? Let's pray to that end. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, this last and final discourse before you went to the cross. And Lord, some of these things you're saying are hard. And even as a follower of Christ who has insight or I have the ability to know kind of a hindsight, I know that you're going to the cross. The disciples didn't know. But Lord, even so, I struggle with your commands to love. I struggle walking by faith. I struggle glorifying you. And I need the work of the Holy Spirit to take over. So Lord, I submit to that. And I confess my sin of stealing your glory. And God, I pray that this church would be marked as ones who love one another. Like Paul wrote about the church in Thessalonica, he was encouraged by their love, that it spread from nation to nation, that church loved each other. May that be true about High Point, your church. That people look around and they say, wow, they love each other. God is famous there. Jesus is exalted. God, would you do that work in our lives? And may I truly say this, Lord, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.